Yeah, 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 yeah. Welcome to the program. So let me ask you this. Who had Rome filling in for Rome in the Who Will Fill In For Rome pool? I win. What's going on? Welcome to the show. My name is Jim Rome. I saw that poll. Stucknut. Y'all thought Cindy was going to win, didn't you? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. Sorry I missed the last couple of days. I know, never a good time to miss work. I hate doing it, and especially this time of year. It was not planned. It was not pre-programmed. You know there's something going around. Everybody's getting it. I am no different. I got it. Got rid of it. Broke it. Here I am. What's going on? All right, so I've got a ton of show for you today, as you might imagine. If you missed a couple of days, and my thanks to B-Web, way to go, way to pick me up, dude. Way to pick me up.
And just that quickly.
So we've got a lot of show today, a ton of show, more show than you would ever expect on a Friday. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right at it. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. I know your bracket is busted. Don't be coming up in here. If you want to do it in your office, you go right ahead. But don't be coming up in here crying about how your bracket is already busted. Everybody's bracket is already busted. I can't even tell you how much money I've already lost in the first 2 days of the tourney. I think I've gone through my entire NFL bankroll. The big head and I had a very profitable NFL season. I think I've given it all back already, literally. And we're not even through Friday. Friday hasn't even started yet. But that's what makes March Madness, March Madness. Speaking of the big head, let me skip right ahead to it. We have a big head bet segment coming up in the middle of hour number two. So if you're wondering about that, we're going to pick five or six games. That's coming up in the middle of hour number two. Also, something off the board. We never, ever do this. While I was down, Tommy informed me we did not do a beef segment. Awesome. A Friday beef segment. What is your beef? So that's coming up in hour number three. Notice I'm kind of reverse engineering this whole thing.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
Yes, Rex. Coming up at the top of the third hour. Alvy will have his Ionic week that was, even though I'm going to work three of the days. The Ionic 3 days that were. Ionic. Alvy will have Ionic. It. In and around all of that, in hour number one, Charles Robinson joins me, always keen to talk to him about the NFL. Top of hour number two, my dude, Eric Musselman, the Must Bus. I know you Arkansas fans have been really uptight this year. Thing is, when they're good, they're really good, and they've got some crazy talent. So, to run it all down really quickly, Charles Robinson, Eric Musselman, Big Head Betts, What's Your Beef, Alvy's Week That Was, all that coming up. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, do that, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All of that coming up. Let me start with the madness. I always say it, nothing ever lives up to the hype. Nothing except for the NCAA tournament. And I keep saying it because it's always true. Let's go ahead and add that to a list of universally undefeateds. At this point in life, we know the universally undefeateds are as follows. Sex, undefeated, untied, unbeaten in the history of the world. Father Time, unbeaten. March Madness, unbeaten.
Diarrhea.
Diarrhea too. I conveniently forget that, but Diarrhea too. Yeah, you know how I know? It kicked my ass this week. Got a little bit of the bug. Anyway, what I'm getting at is there is nothing better. The bracket dopamine is real. We're all swimming in it right now. Unless, of course, you had Arizona going all the way, and I know a lot of you did. Then your bracket dopamine just turned into bracket battery acid. But hey, that'll happen. Happens to us all. And it's not the first time it's happened either. And not to pile on, but
happens to us all.
Arizona, when I say it's not the first time, they had lost to a 15 seed in the first round once before. And not to be this guy, but I actually called it. I did. Not this time, but the last time. As a talk show host on the rise, Roy Firestone used to put me on his up-close show on ESPN in the early 90s. Tommy, that is true. And this is when he would put me on as a panelist. We did a tournament preview segment on one of his shows back in 1993. I called that upset. When Arizona was a 2, I called that. And back then, 2s did not lose to 15s, but Arizona did. That's how long I've been doing this, and that's how smart I am, and how smart I was back then. Well, it goes to show, history does repeat itself as the geniuses from Princeton, channeling their inner 1996, shocked the Wildcats, a legitimate national title contender, because I know a lot of you had them going all the way.
One possession game. Arizona needs 3 to send this thing to overtime. You don't have to check the 3. Go get a quick 2 if you can. 15 seconds left. Ramey, long ball.
That's not it.
Air ball.
That's not it.
Ballow tries to keep it alive. Kreshaw, no good.
Princeton's going to keep dancing.
Princeton's going to win this thing.
Princeton's going to keep dancing.
Wow.
Incredible. Somehow, the Princeton Tigers and head coach Mitch Henderson are, in fact, still dancing. The same Mitch Henderson who led that epic upset of the defending champs UCLA back in 96. And that was a shocker, but again, that was only a 13 over a 4. This was from the 15 line. And that's got to make it all the more heartbreaking and devastating for Arizona fan. I mean, I hate to say it, but what a disaster for the Wildcats.
That's devastating.
A team that many thought could win it all somehow failed to score for the final 4 minutes and 45 seconds of this game against the Ivy Leaguers. And you're not going to win many games in the tournament like that, or any games ever. Meantime, Zona's meltdown didn't feel nearly as brutal as the way UVA crashed out, because unlike Arizona, Virginia had their game in hand against Furman. They led by 4 with 19 seconds left. They had possession and a 2-point lead when the most unthinkable and incredible thing happened.
Cedric are the best free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pickies. Goal! Furman leads. Timeout, Virginia. Did we just see what we think we just saw? Wow!
I mean, incredible. Inject that bleep right into my veins. That right there is one of the most beautiful plays I've ever seen. That was so badass. That was so clean. That was damn near symphonic. Alvy, I need it again. I need it 10 more times, or 100.
I'm with Cedric, the best free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pickies. Goal!
Like, I literally can't stop watching it. Now, I do feel for Kihei Clark, even if I've got absolutely no idea what he was thinking. The fifth-year senior got trapped in the corner, and he just threw it up. After the game, Furman's Jalen Slauson, their star, had a great, great reaction. In fact, he had that reaction.
He just freaking threw the ball.
Quote, he just freaking threw the ball.
He just freaking threw the ball.
Such an amazing quote. He said that in the tunnel. He did just freaking throw the ball.
He just freaking threw the ball.
And it was an all-time mistake. But the Paladins still had to step up and knock down the most clutch shot in program history. They still had to take advantage. They still had to execute. And holy crap, did they ever take advantage and execute. That was surgical. That was Paladin perfection. A Paladin, by the way, is a knight, if you're wondering. That's your answer for the water cooler today. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Credit to Clark, though. My man sat in his locker, and he took full responsibility, full accountability. Incredible that he might have made the most important pass in UVA hoops history in the Elite Eight against Purdue in 2019, but also the opposite of the most important pass in UVA history when he just freaking threw the ball.
He just freaking threw the ball.
Only thing missing from that is the legend Paul Allen incredulously screaming, Why do you even ponder passing?
Why do you even ponder passing?
So that's how Furman grabbed their first tourney win since 1974. And frankly, it couldn't have been any more epic. Like, the end of that was just so perfect. I keep watching it. Penn State, meanwhile, also broke a two-plus decade tourney drought in pretty epic fashion. Not because of a crazy finish, but because of some crazy sharp shooting. A wild, funkadelic laser show, if you will. You see this dude, Andrew Funk, because Texas A&M clearly missed him when they were letting him pour in not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, eight bleeping threes in that total beatdown. Gotta have that funk. Gotta have that funk. This dude didn't just go 8-for-10 from beyond the arc in the first Penn State tourney appearance in 12 years. I don't think dude even grazed the rim. Eight trays, zero rim. It was like, I don't know, splash, splash, splash.
Smash, smash, smash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hyped Penn State hoops. And no, I'm not going to lie. The big head James Kelly was on Penn State. And I told him, I like him. I respect him. But there's no way in hell I go against my dude, Buzz Williams. Sometimes it's just personal. Sometimes I make it personal. And I love Buzz. Always have, always will. But this time, it came back to bite me in the ass. The tourney be like that. The tourney be like that. That's the beauty of the chaos, though, yo. It's random. It's surprising. It's madness. Then again, some things at the tournament are a little more predictable. Like must-coached teams showing up ready to ball. And yes, Arkansas fan, I know you've been up and down this year. I know that you haven't really known night to night what you're going to get from that team. You know, well, you got what you needed last night. The must bus rolling on. And I'll get to a lot of that, or a lot more of that, when the man himself comes up at the start of hour number two. Then you got Bama. The Bama dominance also on display. The Bama dominance also predictable. And the Bama dominance, frankly, pretty nauseating. Like, while I was down, I was throwing up in my mouth. While I was watching them, I was throwing up in my mouth. But there's no getting around it. They're awfully good on the floor, right? Awkward as hell, too. Brandon Miller and his armed guards actually got shut out by Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and Bama still won by 21. Because nobody ever said they weren't really good. They are really good on the floor, and a massive problem and a headache in this tournament, even if nobody wants them to do well other than them. But there are lots of other teams that you can like, that you can get behind, that you can root for, like UCLA, which looked pretty amazing last night. Defending champion Jayhawks, who put up 96 even without Bill Self. Or John Shire's Duke Blue Devils, who are making it pretty clear that certainly Duke is still Duke.
Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
So, get up in here. If you want to cry about your bracket, don't. If you think I'm here to hear that, you're wrong. Everybody's brackets are busted. Get up in here, though, and talk about anything you want because you don't have very many windows. I've got a beef segment. So if you want to beef, go ahead and do that. You know what? Beef about your bracket if you want, because I always tell you you can beef about anything you want. Normally, that's a Thursday thing. It's now a Friday thing, but this Friday only. That's the top of hour number three. The big head, James Kelly, joining me at 10:40. My mighty Gauchos tipping it off in the middle of hour number two. They're the baddest, fiercest, nastiest 14 of all time. And they're double-digit dogs. So, you see what Princeton did? Anything could happen. My boy Savage. Look at Jack Savage in the back row. He's got this crazy lid. Savage, you corn dog. Who made that for you? Dude, he's got a split lid. There it is. Put it on. Put it on, dude. Jack Savage. Detective Jack Savage, rocking a lid that's half Northwestern, half UCLA. Brag much, corndog? Savage went to both schools. He went to UCLA and Northwestern, and they both won. He's got two schools in the tourney. Bro, I'm going to allow the lid. I'm going to allow the lid. Corny as it is. Hey, man, what can I say about that? That dude went to both those schools, and they're both in, and they both advanced. And wait for it. I think they're going to play each other. Jack Savage. Jesus Christ, it's Jack Savage. Who do you root for, dude? You're like the Kelsey parents. Who do you root for? I'm going to try and get into that. Hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. Dear Jim, I hope you're recovering from your vasectomy. By the way, what the hell was Clark thinking? Best wishes, Jacoby Myers. You know, there's something wild about Jacoby Myers. Nobody's gotten more mileage out of that play than me. Nobody's come harder for that guy than me. That was the dumbest play ever, Jacoby. You know, but then the guy showed up with the Raiders, and I don't know if you've seen this soundbite, and I don't want to say I'm disappointed because it's going to be hard for me to go in on him in that play, but I can't believe the way he owned it and the way he showed up. When that came up and he met with the press, like straight up, absolute extreme ownership. Guy comes off so well, which I'm almost sorry to see, but I got to give him credit. Mark in Hollywood, quote, hey, bro, you should listen to the Jim Rome show sometime. He lays it out in perfect detail how to take off March Madness. Like, you're not supposed to go back to work. I know, dude. Right? Well done. Didn't seem right. The five-day weekend did not seem right. Actually, the 2 days off in the middle of the madness didn't seem right. And back in the day, I would have never done it.
That's right.
That's right. But the problem is, Stewie, when you got a fever and if you come in and you infect everybody, that's really not right. And then there's nobody. And then what? And then Weber's got to come in here and do everything himself. That's wrong. Nobody! Ed Romy's my homie. Quote, got something on your mind, Jimmers? Or under that bag of ice-cold peas on your walnuts?
War Lady clones.
Nah. Nah. Abigail, didn't get cut. It's not what that was. Hey, Romy, glad you're feeling better. It was fun to spend a couple of days with you. See you next time. Regards, the great equalizer. G off in Lincoln. It happens, man. Clearly, it happens to us all.
Equalizer.
I think you all know me well enough to know I'm not looking to take days off. This guy writes, hey, Jim, who puked more? You the last few days or the Rome boys watching Space Jam 2? Not even close. The Rome boys watching Space Jam 2. That was uncontrollable. Projectile vomit in public. At least I kept mine under my own roof. Thanks for asking, though. All right, so again, busy, busy show. Charles Robinson at 9:40. Of course, I missed all the drama involving Aaron Rodgers, so he and I will get into it. E. Must, top of hour number two. How good is E. Must to me? When they won, we went out to them. It took him maybe 4 seconds to say, I'm in. Always for the jungle. Big head bets, 10:40. Gauchos tip it off at 10:30. What's your beef? 11 o'clock straight up. So, clones, quick question. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky the best thing ever? Well, it's the best family-run business I know. There's that. They stand by quality. They produce the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same, so you want to make sure you choose Old Trapper where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender, never tough, because they use only the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top-quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. Wolch wrapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in four amazing flavors, so you can choose any of the above. Myself, I like them all the same. Literally, I like them all the same, so I bounce back between the four. That way, I go with a four-ounce bag. If I really know what I want and I'm feeling it, I just load it up with the 18-ounce bag. The option is all yours. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'll tell you what, if it's a good phone call, I'll put you right up, because you're not going to get through later. And I got a small window right here. It's a really good phone call, I'll put you up right now. 1-800-636-8686. Some of the reaction first to Jack Savage's lid. In case you missed it in the open, he's still rocking it. Look at the kid. One side is Northwestern, one side is UCLA. Exactly, dude, where do you find something like that? I know you didn't find that on some street corner. I know you didn't find that online. You had to create that yourself. Did mom make that last night? Jack, this says, Jack Savage's lid is lit. Yours, P. Jackson's kids, wore the 7 lid. Andy in Portland, tremendous call.
You should give them some credit. I mean,
all right, Andy, thing is, I don't think there was a 7 lid. I think it was a 10 lid. And Phil Jackson told the story that his kids, quote, his kids, made him a lid to commemorate the 10 championships.
Phil Jackson?
If they did so after he won his 10th, Phil Jackson, his kids did that.
Jackson?
We're not talking about little kids in elementary school that went into their ceramics class and came out with a coffee mug. I haven't done the math on this and I haven't looked it up, but if Phil Jackson's kids made him a 10 lid, they were probably like 65 when they did. Right? Look at the guy. Look how old he was when he won his 10th. The kids must have been in their 60s. And I'm trying to think about my kids. Why have my boys not made me a lid? I mean, not even a Hall of Fame lid. Nothing like that. Once in a while, I'll go into the cabinet and I'll find some old mug that Jake or Logan made where they get to, like, hand right there, Happy Father's Day, love you, into the mug. But never a lid. So no, no Hall of Fame lid for me. And no, John in New York didn't make me a Hall of Fame lid either. Good call, though. Now, here's a Hog fan that gets it. I'm glad. Tyler B. Jones, 83. Yes, Muss in the jungle today. A top 10 team to start the season. With a top 5 recruiting class, Nick Smith didn't get to play half the season. We have 2 lottery picks on this team with Anthony Black as well. If any 8 seed can make the Final Four, it's us. Hashtag WPS. Hashtag must bus. Hey, Hog Nation, not to get on the wrong side of you, but I was watching you throughout the year, and you had some losses that I know you didn't like, and then you went right to Twitter. And we're going hard and going in on Muss. How soon we forget. He's had you in the Elite 8 back-to-back years. Expectations off the charts. Extremely talented team. But this guy nailed it. It's so true. And I understand that you had trouble closing out games. I understand you had trouble finishing. I understand you let a lot of leads get away. I understand it was an up-and-down year. But now you are where you need to be. I understand you had a 17-point lead against the Illini. They cut it to 5, and you thought, oh, no. Here we go again.
Uh-oh.
They got it done. They got it done defensively. They got it done on the glass. And that is a very talented team and an athletic team. And you probably do have 2 lottery picks on that team. That's an Arkansas fan that gets it. I agree with you, dude. So that's why we're having Muss come up at the top of hour 2. Hey, Rome, I saw how much rain you've been getting. Is that why you were out the last few days? You got flooded, and you didn't get in a boat. You got in a boat. Then you got swept away. Hope you and your family are okay.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt?
I fish on a boat.
On a boat.
Dino in Vegas. I'll tell you what, though, dude. It's funny you say that. So when I was kind of laid up in the rack the first day, because I was trying to be responsible, didn't sleep much the first night because of obvious reasons. What we talked about, the great equalizer, et cetera, et cetera. But I wake up and I roll over and I check my phone and Dodger Jano left me a text. There's a hole in my backyard. Not like a sinkhole, but a hole. And there's water, man, just pouring out of this hole into the pool. And the landscapers are sandbagging the whole yard. I'm like, the hell is that? Did a pipe burst? Or is that just runoff? DJ says runoff. Like, this is the wacky stuff that happens in SoCal when it rains. Like, there's just a hole in my backyard.
That's
and
whack.
Water just running and everything. The mud, the water, sediment. Sorry for the big words, clones. Everything running into my pool. But no, that's not why I missed it. That's not why I wasn't here. Sean and Escondido, you had a fever of 103? That's hot-blooded. Didn't get to 103. Jack has a hat. I'm reading this as it was written. Jack has a hat with two teams on it? That's nothing. I can fit multiple fighter jets on my forehead. Sign James Kelly. Not bad, Sarah. Not bad, Sarah.
War Lady Clones.
You've been saltier than that. Kind of cute. I don't know, man. I may have to officially bring in Jack Savage. And intro you officially to him today. He is wearing a split hat, split lid with both of his schools. All right, so it sets up like this now. You had your chance. I told you I'd get you right in if you were the right caller. Charles Robinson, next segment. E-Mus, top of the hour. Maybe a Jack Savage intro next hour. Maybe. Big Head Betts, definitely next hour. What's your beef? Top of hour three. So if you want to get your beefs in, go ahead. I did not push out a pod because I was not here Wednesday or Thursday, but I will push it out later today because, damn, man, I'm responsible like that. Rick Carlisle is our pod, and I love the way he showed up. So episode 259 of the Jim Rome Pod with Rick Carlisle, Indiana head coach, later today. Right now, here's a sports update. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
We're always, the show that's on the air is good. The show that you're not hearing off the air is better. Avi, can you pull it together, yo? Got the head basketball coach of Arkansas, Eric Musselman, top of the hour. But right now, we're talking some NFL. Since I missed the last couple of days, I had to get caught up, and this is the guy I go to get caught up. A Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer, co-host of You Pod to Win the Game podcast. Generally speaking, an all-around badass journo. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you doing today?
Good, dude. Good. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming back. Listen, for a lot of people, Aaron Rodgers' fatigue is set in. Not for this dude. I'm here for it. All of it. He pretty much let it all hang out on the McAfee show this week. Let me ask you this. What have you seen or heard from Aaron since he emerged from the darkness that has stood out to you most of all?
Well, we're kind of entering Brett Favre territory. Remember, I don't think a lot of people remember how it ended between Brett Favre and the Packers, but it was Brett basically saying, hey, the Packers pushed me out. I wanted to come back, and they wanted to move on to Aaron. And, you know, this is why I ended up with the New York Jets. And that's really what's happened now with Aaron Rodgers. You listen closely to what he said on the Pat McAfee show. He said, when I came out of the darkness retreat, the tone of the team had changed, and all of a sudden I'm finding out, like, hey, I'm being shopped. And I don't think you get more clear than him saying I was still up in the air in terms of what I wanted to do, and that's part of what the darkness retreat was for. And when I came back out, the Packers weren't up in the air. I was being shopped. I was being pushed. And Mark Murphy, the CEO, made that as clear as possible, and with clear intent went out and said, you know what, I'm going to talk about him in the past tense. I'm going to talk about, hey, you know, when Hall of Fame time comes around, we'll be there for him. But for all intents and purposes, we're moving on. And, you know, I think, Aaron, at that point, that's you're in a situation where you have a one-team market. You have the Jets who want you. They believe they can be a Super Bowl-caliber team the second you walk through that door. And that's really how this has all come together. Now it's just the waiting game in terms of who can be most patient on the compensation.
Charles Robinson joining us to that very point that it's a one-team market in the compensation. You know, regarding all of that, there is some disagreement. In your opinion, who has the leverage here? Is it the Packers, the Jets, or maybe Aaron himself?
I think Aaron has the leverage. You know, we're arguing back and forth about who has the leverage between the Packers and the Jets and who can be most patient. But Aaron is sitting there, you know, and he knows the Packers don't want me back. They don't want me in that building. They don't want to be on the hook for $60 million this year, and they can't cut me. If they cut me, they owe me more than $94 million. So in some sense, Rodgers does hold the cards here. He can stare at the Packers and say, look, take your time, do whatever you want, but the second I can be back in that building, I will be, and I will be making it as uncomfortable as possible. You're going to pick up Jordan Love's fifth-year option in May. He's your presumed starter. You don't want me around, so you need to go ahead and wrap this up. And if that means taking slightly less than what you would hope to get from the Jets, you need to do that. And I think the Jets are on board with it right now. I think the Jets are like, look, there's other players we got to go out and hunt down, and we have, you know, parts of the roster we're going to update. We can take our time doing this, and eventually the Packers are going to have to make a move because Rodgers can walk back into that building. He's still under contract. He's still a Packer. And the union would step in if the Packers were like, hey, Aaron, we're not going to allow you back into the building. At that point, the union's going to step in. They're going to say, wait a minute, he's under contract. You can't hold him hostage. You can't keep him out. He's your player, and your player is reporting, and you're saying, no, we're not accepting that. It's going to be a real mess. But people are underestimating the amount of leverage Rodgers really does have to go back in that building, make things really awkward.
Charles Robinson joining us. I was going to ask you that very question since you hit on it. Let's just finish the thought. Is there any scenario or any percentage where you could see him going back and playing another year with the Packers because the whole thing just blew up?
I don't. I really don't. Not at this stage, I think the Packers know if push comes to shove, they're going to just take the lesser compensation. They'll figure it out and be creative and try to see if they're not going to get two first-round picks out of this guy. I don't know that they're necessarily going to get one first-round pick, but I do think there could be a package worked out where maybe it's a couple of second-round picks and one of those picks can graduate into a first-rounder if Aaron plays 2 years, if they win a Super Bowl in, you know, one of the next 2 years. Because I really do think for the Jets, this acquisition, it's a two-year window. They'd like to have Aaron come in and have it be sort of the Tom Brady plan when he went to Tampa, which was a two-year window. Let's see what we can build in this two-year time frame. I don't think there's any way at this point the Packers want any part of this, the potential of him returning. And if that means having to take less, it's better to do that than just go through a complete public relations and team nightmare, which is exactly what they're asking for.
Charles Robinson joining us. So this next question, I think, relates in part to what the compensation is. But, you know, to your point, the Jets think they are a Super Bowl team, or at least they've got to look at it with Aaron Rodgers. In your opinion, I mean, obviously they're much better, but what does he make them really? Are they a playoff team, or are they a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Rodgers?
Well, let's be clear. They still have work to do. We know that. The offensive line, they've got to figure out how they want to stack the line, what's going to happen with Mekhi Becton, what the tackle position is going to look like. So there's work to be done there. They got to extend Quinnen Williams. That's going to be a massive contract, like a market-setting contract extension for an interior defensive lineman. There's other business to be done. There's no doubt about that. But if you talk to the Jets and they're being honest, they felt like their Super Bowl window, they actually had a shot last year if they would have just had competent quarterback play, which speaks to how bad they really felt like the quarterback position was for them last year. You know, a little bit above average quarterback play with that defense, and had Breece Hall not gone down with a knee injury, you know, the Jets felt like we could have been talking about not just a playoff run, but a sustained, surprising, stunning playoff run. Now, a year later, while starting when the season kicks off in September, I think they feel like, health permitting, they're going to have a Super Bowl team with Aaron there in the fold. And, you know, they'll take care of whatever business they need to take care of. They'll talk to some of these other players that are on this list that doesn't exist. Now we're hearing, oh, they might be talking to Odell Beckham Jr. I think Mercedes Lewis is a guy they'll talk to, Randall Cobb. So they'll bring in some of Aaron's trusted, you know, players on the roster, and just like the Buccaneers did with Brady. But there's zero question. I don't know if they'll admit it publicly, but there's zero question. They feel like they get Rodgers in, they get this business sewn up, they're going to be a Super Bowl caliber team next year.
So one more thought about that. Like, he won the MVP back-to-back, and then last year his numbers were down. I mean, would the Jets have you believe, or internally do they believe, that if he gives them exactly what he gave Green Bay last year, that's enough to get to the Super Bowl?
I think they think he'll give them better than what he was able to give the Packers last year. I think, first off, they feel like the overall talent of the wide receiver position will not only be better than what it was with the Packers last year, because let's remember, I mean, Davante Adams was out. You're dealing with a couple of rookies that, you know, he's trying to bring along during the course of the season. There were injuries around him. I think they're looking at Aaron Rodgers and they're saying, we're going to have a more seasoned set of wide receivers. Our young players, top line player, Garrett Wilson. I mean, you're talking about an offensive player of the year last year, offensive rookie of the year last year. You know, I think they feel like running back wise, Breece Hall can come back healthy at some point. That will help. I just think they feel like, look, the pieces around him are going to be better than they ultimately were, with the Packers once they're finished doing the work that they have to do. Plus, he's going to have Nathaniel Hackett. And I know everyone clowns Hackett and what a terrible outcome it was in Denver, but Hackett was there for you know, back-to-back MVP seasons, and a lot of that had to do with not only the offense they were running, but the fact that Hackett put a lot of that offense in Aaron's hands. Now, you know, there were internal fights at times with Matt LaFleur and Aaron about, you know, how exactly they wanted that offense to function, but I think Aaron knows it's going to be more toward the West Coast style that I want to run. I'm going to be able to call protections at the line. A lot of this offense is going to be put in my hands, and I think that's a good thing both for him and Hackett.
I agree. Charles Robinson joining us, and he loves Hackett. I agree with you. I mean, we all clowned him for how it went last year, but you know Aaron loves the guy. Charles, really quickly, you mentioned Odell Beckham. I mean, yeah, it'd be great for Aaron Rodgers to have Beckham, but that's not going to happen. That's out of the question, given what Beckham wants. In fact, given what Beckham wants, what's the market look like for him right now?
Good luck. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right? I don't know if there's a market there for a $20 million wide receiver. I'm baffled, honestly, at that figure, because he's 30 years old. You've seen a remarkable run of injuries. I mean, look, at times has he flashed that player that he was? We're talking now 6 years ago, you know, 7 years ago. Yeah, he flashed it, but we haven't seen that guy consistently in a really long time. There's been a couple of knee injuries. That's concerning. And again, he's 30. No one's running out there to pay any 30-year-old wide receiver who has not been at the top of their game the last couple of seasons $20 million a season in 2023. So if he dials that back, and we're talking about, you know, a 2 or 3 year deal at a clip of, you know, $12 million, $13 million, maybe, you know, $20 to $25 million guaranteed, that's a different deal that I think some teams would be willing to sign on for. But at his numbers right now, I don't think he has a market. And the only way he would end up with the Jets, it would be a significant discount below $20 million a season, if that's actually what he's seeking right now.
So who's got less of a market, him or Ezekiel Elliott?
Man, that's a good Wow, what a question. That's a fantastic question.
Thanks, dude.
I mean, normally you would say the running back, right? But, I mean, just the age on Beckham Jr., the injuries. I mean, here's the thing about Ezekiel Elliott that I think people underrate. He had a pretty solid season last year, and that rotation between he and Tony Pollard actually worked really well. But, you know, is he the same player won back-to-back rushing titles? No, he's not. You know, he's just a different player at this point, and, you know, health is always going to be a concern. He's going to have to be part of a rotation. But his price tag is going to be a lot less. So I would say that actually Zeke probably has a better market than Odell, just in terms of knowing where his price tag is ultimately going to fall. This isn't going to be a $10 million running back for someone to sign. It's going to be a cheaper deal than that. And, you know, I think the ability of teams to want to rotate and have a power running back will keep him on the radar of some teams. But I'm just telling you, Odell Beckham in the $20 million digit, that's a non-starter. No one is going to look at him for that number. And at the very least, when you look at Ezekiel Elliott, he's not sitting there going, well, geez, I need 15. That's kind of what it would look like if he was doing what Odell's doing right now.
Right. He is a Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer. He is co-host of You Pod to Win the Game podcast. As I mentioned, an all-around badass journo, always here for us. Charles Robinson, my guest. Dude, appreciate you very much. Great job as always, and thanks for coming back on.
Thanks for having me, brother. Take care.
You too, dude. Take care. So good. Love talking to him. All right, so your reaction to any of that. Let's see. Games that are underway. Kennesaw State, Xavier. Xavier, the three, they're up 18-9 early on. Who do you have in that one? Looking ahead, I mentioned I've got a really good Friday show and a really busy Friday show. When we come back, my man John in New York. That is awesome. He does have a lid for me. I didn't even know, or I had forgotten. I will give you that update. I've got the head coach of Arkansas, Eric Musselman, joining me in about 7 minutes. So we go back to back. Charles Robinson into Eric Musselman. Bottom of hour number two, Big Head Betts. Top of hour number three, what's your beef? I said it, a Friday beef segment. We almost never do that. So get your beefs together, either on the phone or via Twitter or email. And then in the back row, you got Jack Savage just sitting there, ear to ear, with his split lid. Let me try to work him in next hour. All of this still ahead. Do not go anywhere.